This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
All right, national championship. Turned out to be a pretty good game. Turned out to be a very good game, even though we kind of forgot about it because, you know, 579 days in between. Indiana wins 27-21. We'll get into that. Last night, also in between, I'm watching the UNC Bears basketball game, and they're fighting. Made it interesting again, but the Bears find themselves in a very difficult spot in the Big Sky Conference. We got a lot to unpack today. The NFL coaching carousel, Jarrett Stidham, all that. Patriots first look, and guess what? I have a guest co-host in, a special guest co-host in. The whole show starts right now. After the 11 o'clock hour, welcome into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. There's no mosquitoes in this studio today, in the Aloe Fiber Studios, I'll tell you that. Guest host today, great friend of mine. We do a weekly podcast together when I show up on time, called Football 52, UNC head football coach Ed Lamb. Ed's going to be with me all day today, right? You cleared out the calendar. Is that, unless something pops up on the phone, you're here with me until 2 o'clock.
It's a 3 hour show.
Yeah.
And it's my first time doing this. So thank you for that. And you and I have talked about many times. I believe that public perception and working with the media is a big part of my job. And so I'm going to justify this here during recruiting season to be over here with you for 3 hours. And maybe there's some young prospect out there that's listening or a parent that thinks, maybe we should check out UNC.
Well, and you and I know the respect I have for you and how grateful I am that we're able to do a podcast every single Wednesday morning.
Likewise.
We love doing it. And, you know, I thought, you know, maybe, I know January's crazy. There's never not a crazy month for you, but I thought, man, this would be fun. The college football season is officially over all the way through. To bring you in and talk about the game last night, talk about the state of college athletics, NFL stuff too. I know you being now turning into a Colorado guy, you kind of trying to embrace the entire sports scene, which there's a lot going on right now. So it's a fun time.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love following the local teams and great stories going on from the Nuggets world title, you know, it's in the time that I've been here and what the Broncos are doing this year. I love following that stuff.
Well, and how fitting is this, too? I texted you last week as far as topics we would go over. I didn't think we would go over a topic of backup quarterback in the AFC Championship for the Broncos. And it kind of worked out perfectly because Ed, especially the last 2 years, you've become very familiar with dealing with the backup quarterback position.
Right. And I think the biggest challenge for the Broncos is going to be the same challenge we face, which is a different type of quarterback coming in. It's not that Stidham doesn't have the ability to lead the team to victory, but he doesn't have the same abilities. And those mobile quarterbacks like Bo Nix, they get you out of bad plays. And so it's going to take a major pivot. And I think, obviously, coaches know what they're doing. You know, they're in a room right now looking at things that I'm not looking at. But from the outside, it is incredibly difficult to go from a guy who moves out of the pocket very quickly and creates extra time and space to a guy who is reticent to do that because it's not a skill set.
Take us through, you know, again, the football mindset of what what we think maybe Sean Payton goes through, because there's the initial moment of, oh, he's hurt. Oh, it's bad. He's going to be out for a while. Take me through how you process that. And then how long does it take you to process, okay, he's hurt. We have to get right back to new game plan, especially when you have to make the transition between different quarterbacks. What's that process like?
Yeah. So we live in that world, and we know
you're always
that
ready for it.
You're always ready for it. It's literally the primary job of a head coach during practice is really to protect the starting quarterback. The way that we organize practice itself, how often we have offense go versus defense, what are the rules of engagement for that those pass rushers as they get near the starting quarterback during practice. All of that stuff is set by the head coach, and different head coaches have slightly different philosophies on that. But the common denominator is we're going to protect the current starting quarterback. Well, we wouldn't spend all that time, all that effort every day with that forefront on our mind without reviewing the possibility that we could lose the quarterback at any given moment during the game. So, at this point, I think all of Sean Payton's energy and the offensive staff is just in, okay, how do we win now as a team with the backup quarterback? And there are just tremendous challenges and decision trees within that objective that they're going through. And it's a lot of it is educated guesses.
For you specifically, you know, to start the season, it's Peter Castelli. And then ultimately we see Eric Gibson Jr. take over. Before Castelli goes down, what does a typical week of practice look like for the backup quarterback?
I would say most programs, and we're in line with most programs, the total repetitions are probably 70-30.
Okay.
Maybe a better way to say it is 60-30-10 for your third-string quarterback who just gets a smattering, a handful of reps, just in case you lose two in a game or two in a two-week period, which has happened to us before.
Mm-hmm.
The backup quarterback comes in very unprepared. And really, when the backup quarterback comes in, even in practice, you're not really tailoring the practice plan or the game plan, for that matter, to the backup quarterback as much as you're allowing the offensive line and the running backs and the receivers and all of those guys to continue to work the game plan. So it's a major pivot when you know, there's a blessing here that Knicks didn't go out on the first play of the next game, right? Now you've got bigger issues,
yeah,
right?
Good point.
But this is a major, major pivot. The plays, if you list out, we call it self-scouting, right? But if you listed out many of the Broncos' most successful, most efficient plays over the course of this season, where the quarterback is the catalyst of those plays, it's going to be completely different from the skill set that the new backup would have. And then there's a backup after him too, and that may be very much different too. But although I think the third quarterback or the current second quarterback, I can't remember his name, but I think he's very mobile. And so, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see the Broncos use him, or if they get to him, there could be a spark there because it would be getting back to what the offensive line is used to in terms of protection and the ability to escape and all that stuff is going to be a real challenge.
Well, and you know, as far as like when you look at Bo Nix compared to Jarrett Stidham, if Jarrett had to, if he had to take off, like he can move forward. He can go, but they're not designing anything for him specifically. You saw the play that Bo Nix got hurt on. That was a designed quarterback run. So that takes out a whole chunk of your, and we've seen Sean Payton's playbook. You have gigantic playbooks. That takes out a pretty significant chunk of what you could do. Even certain pass plays where you know it says there's four progressions here, but realistically there's one, maybe one and a half. He knows that if he gets much past that second progression, he's going to take off. That's part of the play design, I would imagine.
Right, yeah. And I think that the timing that each quarterback moves through their progression and their risk assessment is very personalized. And so I can just tell you that, you know, in being familiar with the type of quarterback that Stidham is, and I know who he is, right, and was aware of him in his college days even, and then the type of quarterback that Bo Nix, I've actually coached against Bo Nix when he was at Oregon and I was at BYU. You know, Bo Nix is going to be very picky about early progressions, move through very quickly, take what he loves, and if he doesn't love it, he knows he's got a tremendous weapon. And Patrick Mahomes has, you know, made a Hall of Fame career out of the exact same type of progression. Those guys move through very quickly and very picky. That's why they're very efficient.
I want to get more of your Broncos thoughts on this a little bit later on, because I think one of the main things we always went back to offensively for the Broncos is, what is the thing that they do better than anybody else in the league, it was hard to say. It was hard
man-to-man
to find
coverage.
That. Yeah, well,
it's
okay.
Man-to-man coverage.
There we go.
That's absolutely
X's
the thing they do better than anyone else.
And when defenses are in that man-to-man coverage, doesn't that open up the opportunities for a quarterback to take off and run?
Well, I'm talking about the Broncos defense.
Oh, sure. Okay, yeah, defensively.
Yeah. That's what the Broncos – when you say what do they do differently as a team, what is the catalyst of their success this year? Not to take any credit away from offensive staff, offensive coaches, the team dynamic, but they play man-to-man defense. They're very good at it, and that opens up everything else for the whole team.
Isn't that a big – on the defensive side, that is – you know, it's a philosophy, whatever, but – you're basically saying we have better guys than you. We feel like we just match up better than you, so we can. That's a luxury we can utilize, is to go more man-to-man defense.
Sure, there's a lot of dynamics within that. I don't know that their defensive coordinator would say it. I think you want your corners coach, your nickels coach. You want those guys talking like that. But the reality is you know, it's just a change up in timing. The league right now, the NFL, in the Big Sky, too, for that matter, very much a two-high league. There's a lot of teams that are kind of pivoting to cover three right now because of there's more big sets going in on offense. We're seeing that more and more, back to two tight ends, fullbacks, stuff like that. So cover three is a decent pivot. But there are not very many hang-your-hat, man-free coverage teams. We are one at UNC, one of the few in our conference and at the FCS level, and so is the Broncos. So we really study as much film as we can and attend practice when we can.
This is fun. It's going to be a fun one today. UNC head football coach Ed Lamb sitting in with us in the Aloe Fiber Studios. Big Hub texting in on the First Advantage text line. Tell me that game last night didn't feel like a movie, like an underdog movie. It made me want to play football all over again. Well, even though Indiana was the favorite, you know, they were a 7.5 favorite, there still very much was that underdog feel, even watching the broadcast. You know, it's, hey, Miami's offensive linemen are much bigger than Indiana's defensive linemen, and they're thinking they can just go push them around. And they tried that, didn't accomplish that a lot. But it was kind of an underdog story, even though Indiana was a pretty heavy favorite in this game last night.
Yeah, I'll acknowledge that exactly the way you said it. If you were actually going to rewrite the movie script, you would have them struggle a little bit in the first few rounds of the playoffs.
Or not go undefeated, you know, so, throughout the regular season.
Yeah, as any time that I don't have a vested interest in know somebody on the staff or the team or have worked at that place, or, you know, I haven't even worked in the conferences where those teams come from, right? So I didn't have any desire other than to see a great game. That was the outcome. But because Indiana had been so dominant in the previous games, I kind of felt like the underdog and the team I was kind of pulling for was Miami, just to see the competitive game.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. They almost ruined their own movie script, so to speak, because they were too successful going into that final game and became a heavy favorite.
And I guess, you know, even going further back, you know, because the history of Indiana football, I mean, they're really, for the most part, I know we were looking back weeks ago, there's not really much other than these, specifically these last two seasons, with how they built their team. And we'll have some clips too. Mark Cuban was on hand at the game last night, and he had some interesting things to say about NIL. It's not to say Indiana's not paying guys. They're just not doing it the way we're seeing the other big dogs plastered all over the media. We're seeing the $40 million, you know, with the salary cap is what it is, but really we're getting up to $40 million. We just don't see it as advertised as heavily with Indiana.
So I started my staff meeting this morning with our football staff. I say, hey, you guys watch the game. Those of you that are paying close attention to all the pieces around it, how they practice, their procedures, logistically, how they're building this team, similarities and differences. Let's just spend a 10-minute exercise here. Throw some ideas out. Let's get to talking here. Let's start our meeting. There are some similarities with what we're trying to do at UNC in that, okay, we're trying to turn a program that historically hasn't been very good. There's some dissimilarities too. Like, I mean, you look at like Kalen DeBoer got his big time football start at Indiana as the coordinator. Like they won 8 games in 2019, fairly recent history. So like the university's been kind of knocking on the door trying to improve the program. Tom Allen had some success there in the late teens and early 2020s. And then Mark Cuban has been the major difference maker. But I think what you're alluding to and what some of the discussion coming out of there is they're not looking to have this imbalance of a quarterback and three or four other players making 60% of their NIL or revenue share capability, what they're looking to do is bring up more of a balanced roster. And you and I have talked about the way we're doing that at UNC with obviously far less resources. I don't have Mark Cuban. We have some people who are generous and support us, and you know, we have the ability to over award. So there are some ways to kind of raise some of our guys that have proven themselves on and off the field. But it's, you know, it's like, let's be real. Other coaches could come in and achieve what Indiana achieved this year. Not to take anything away from Kurt Cignetti,
sure,
he's a great coach, but Mark Cuban's a major, major part. Him and his $6 billion capacity are a major part of what's going on.
Well, that's why when it was just, well, Indiana's doing it the right way, they're spending money. They are spending money on players. They're just not maybe doing it as out loud as some of the other, you know, Ohio State or Texas Tech. You know, we don't hear it as – it's just not as – it's not as heavily reported on, I guess. And I don't know why the difference there. But, yeah, Indiana definitely spends money.
One of my favorite shows is Shark Tank.
Oh, yeah. And, it's a great show.
And Mark Cuban is very conservative and keeps things close to the vest, right? A very quick decision maker. It's clear that he, from the start, said, and this was in 2024, okay, I'm going to help Indiana football, right? But nobody's going to know how much.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really hide the amount you're given unless it's a major amount.
Yeah.
So I think their team is getting a considerable amount of support.
Isn't that – let me ask you this, Coach. With the pressures of college sports, and you and I have talked about this, you know, how quick it could end. You guys are – every single week you're coaching for your job. Do you see that nationally, that landscape kind of changing a bit with the fact that it's – you know, you could be the greatest coach ever, but if you don't have the resources, if you don't have the money, and you just don't have the guys, it's going to be very difficult. Do you see eventually athletic directors, I don't even want to say fan bases because they're unrealistic, but maybe athletic directors and administration say, we have to give this coach more time because we're not raising the necessary funds to be able to just go into the portal and get all these guys? Do you see that the coaching carousel slow down in the next 5-10 years, or do you think now it's just all going to be the same? You get 2 years and good luck.
Yeah, I think it's really commensurate with the amount of salary being offered within that conference or that job, right? Like if the coaches are really demanding the highest market, then I think the schools are going to demand the highest market value. And so, you know, like the old adage in construction, you can have it done quickly, you can have it done cheap, or you can have it done well. And even you can pick two of those maybe. But, you know, like you can't have all three of those.
Yeah.
And I think the same is true in football. And the university is deciding whether it's going to be done cheaply or not, or the Mark Cubans that are out there in the world. Okay, if they remove one of those variables, I think you can do it quick and well. But if you're going to do it cheap, and at certain places you don't have any other opportunity but to do it cheaply. If you're doing it cheaply, then it may not be done very well if it's done quickly.
Yeah.
So if you want to do it well and cheap, it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the more that athletic directors understand that, I mean, it's exactly the blueprint for what we've been doing from day one at UNC, right? Like, I can't come in and say, we're going to recruit 90% of our roster from Colorado and it's going to be high school kids. And then, oh, yeah, we're going to win right away. Like, that's, you know, we set out to win every game right from the start. We worked hard to win every game right from the start. But obviously, our best days were always going to be when our high school players started to develop into their third and fourth and fifth year. And now we're starting to see the fruits of that.
And I think for that saying, too, it's like, yes, we have big goals, but we also have realistic expectations. Yeah. You know, yeah, we want to win every single game. We want to go to the playoffs. We want to be playing for a championship. But we also know how we're building this thing could possibly take more time than when although we're seeing a negative on that with what's going on in Boulder. But, for example, when Coach Prime steps in, it's like, I'm bringing Louie with me. He flipped a roster overnight, and it went from what they win, 2 wins without him, and then they got to 4, and then they actually won 9. And a lot of people said, well, what he did there and turned that football program around – he didn't make the guys on the roster better necessarily. He just went out and bought a brand new roster, and it got 9 wins.
Did he turn around the team, or did he turn around the program?
Yeah.
I would say he turned around the team.
I think that's a great point.
If you're going to do it quickly, I think you have the ability to do that. I was never setting out here because I've been a Big Sky champion and multiple time champion as a head football coach. I was never setting out for anything other than championship as the test for my success here. And I did not think that we could do that with portal kids here.
Yeah, and it's just so difficult. It's so crazy to see it, too. You have to wonder what the future, and we'll get into some of that, because you and I like to talk about that, too, the future of college athletics.
Sure.
We always have kind of a UNC emphasis, but also we spend some time talking about the national stuff going on. Faith texting in, thoughts on Mendoza's brother entering the portal. I don't know if you saw that. I did catch that story, too, but Mendoza's brother, who's the backup quarterback in Indiana, he's going to enter the portal because they went and got a TCU guy.
Mm.
So it's... My thought, like, what are your thoughts on that when you see, because you're dealing with it, you see guys enter the portal, guys that were starters, guys that maybe you were told there was going to be more of a quarterback competition going forward. For the other Mendoza quarterback, he's looking at it saying, hey, you went in and got a TCU guy. I don't know if I'm going to win that job, so I'm going to go elsewhere. What are your thoughts as a head coach when you see that kind of stuff? Are you like, man, come on, stay here and compete, or do you get it?
You know, the involuntary retirement of hundreds, if not thousands, of football players is going to start to catch up to the game. And I think at some point we need a different system of guardrails. I love what the portal does for kids. I love that Fernando Mendoza's brother, the backup quarterback, whatever his first name is.
That's how popular they are. We're spending time talking about the backup quarterback.
Exactly. I love that he can say, okay, you've recruited somebody over the top of me. I need a new fresh start somewhere else, right? I don't love that he goes in there blind. And our players, when they choose to enter the portal, go in there blind. And then they may not get something that's better than their current situation. And I think there are ways to fix that. I think the first way is if we're now opening up college football to protect these kids' rights, like you have the right – unless your contract explicitly states otherwise, which would be rare, you have the right to entertain other offers and make a decision about whether you want to stay or go. If there was some kind of portal that you could only enter for a finite period of time every year, and you couldn't have any contact before that portal opened, theoretically, and you couldn't have any contact after it closed, everybody would be kind of running around with FOMO, right? Like,
oh,
you're reading all these stories about what's out there, and I think it's hurting our players, which hurts the game. And I think in many cases, like, okay, Indiana's fan base is fired up right now. I think there are a lot of fan bases around the country that are becoming disenchanted with what they're seeing. And I think there are a lot of money supporters, boosters, who are becoming disenchanted with what they're giving. And I don't know that it fits the model of the way they've set up their business and what they want to do with their money in terms of, quote unquote, supporting universities. So I would like to see major changes, not for the ability of guys to transfer, but for them to do it with much more information so that they're protected.
Yeah, and I want to get into the weeds on that, too, because it is such a dog-eat-dog world out there. Speaking of the portal, Coach, if you hear of any kind of radio portal, I've been, Michael, cover your ears, looking for an excuse to break away
from putting together your highlight
producer
film.
Producer behind you. Yeah, and actually I'm having Michael put together my highlight film for me so I can leave. So where are we at on that, Mike?
Miles, I could use an intern.
Okay. For the audience that has no idea what you're talking about because you just threw out a name, Miles McClarity. That's, of course, his mom, Faith, is one of the diehards here. And, maybe he might someday look at the radio. He's got a good voice for it, so he could be a good radio guy.
He does. I'm a little bit old-fashioned. UNC's the right place for that right now, in my opinion. I think I'm in the right place for me. We actually have the fewest number of guys that entered the portal in our conference. We've had nine. The next lowest, Montana State and Davis, all have 11. The teams in our conference that have the most in the portal are in the high 30s.
And that's, wow. Well, and the last time you and I talked was before the new year. We were kind of around that number at that point. So, what I had seen as far as rumors, and you couldn't really get into that, but that was kind of the number that I was looking at. And so to hear that it just kind of stayed at that or around that, it's pretty good, pretty phenomenal in this day and age.
Yeah, I obviously there are some coaches that are pushing guys into the portal, and I do that less than most. But we do do that. You know, we often will start a conversation with a player, an exit interview at the end of the year, and say, what are your goals? And then help them determine what it's going to take to achieve that here. And sometimes you come to the mutual decision that it's not realistic for them to achieve their goals at this current place. But we do want to, I think a strength of our team is going to be to retain in the portal rather than push guys in and bring new other guys from other programs.
Ed Lamb is joining us in the Aloe Fiber Studios, head football coach for UNC. Texter from the 70720. If you want to shoot us a text, First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Always enjoy hearing from Coach Lamb. Question for him. And if you're not prepared to answer any of these or whatever, you just say pass. That's what I do whenever Michael says something stupid, which is 90%
sure.
of the show.
All right.
Question for him, will Braden Monroe be back in Greeley for 2026? That would be a big help for the Bears' new QB, and it looks like he hasn't gotten much interest in the portal.
Right, so the portal for us, as we define it here, as we've set up our rules, is the portal is one way. If guys go into the portal, then we respect their decision to do that, and they feel like that UNC is no longer the right place for them going forward. And so all of my efforts have been in trying to help Braden get what he's looking for, which is an FBS opportunity. And I think that he has secured that at Kennesaw State.
Okay.
I think that's the last I heard, is that he had an opportunity at Kennesaw State. And if that's what he, you know, was hoping to achieve and it's mission accomplished, then I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for the next guy in our program that gets the chance to have the opportunities to become the next Braden Monroe.
Another question here from the Hammer. Are the Bears willing, and I think I know the answer to this, but we'll have you elaborate. Are the Bears willing to take back a guy who goes into the portal and doesn't get much interest? Seems like a lot of kids are getting bad advice and losing their current spot. So how is he approaching that while building the Bears?
No, that's like I said, it's a one way street. Now we took Carver Cheeks back out of the portal,
yep.
but we took him on as a walk on.
Yep.
And so in terms of, you know, everybody out there who's got a job, if you're looking to get out there and change jobs and move somewhere else and stop working at your current employment, and then you want to come back as a volunteer, if you consider that taking somebody back, yes, I will do that. But there are not a lot of guys who want to do that.
That's a great way. That's a great analogy, too.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people realize how difficult of a task yeah. that was. And for you to say it kind of like, hey, you got a better job, or you think you got a better job, and they kind of, you know, pulled the old bait and switch on you. So you're like, I want to come back. Well, your position has been filled. I'll come back and do whatever. I'll do Michael's job, you know, entry-level stuff. Very easy. You know, right. Not a lot of importance to it.
I think I'm in the middle of something.
No, it's every single day. Yeah. And the Hooligans feel like that, too, on the show. Okay. It's good. Actually, I won't tell it to his face, but he actually does a pretty good job.
I okay. really like Michael.
Stop it, Jerry. No, but he was talking about Micah Parsons, not you. 30 minutes after the hour. Coach, rocking and rolling today, man. We're going to have some fun today. You're doing fantastic. You ready to take over?
I appreciate that. Thanks for the encouragement.
All right, man. We'll be right back. It's the whole show with special guest, head coach of the UNC Bears, Ed Lamb. Bring the questions. He can answer them better than I can on our First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043.
Choker? No problem. Hear the Nuggets on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey everybody, Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
How was that, Coach? The education process there with Michael on the other side telling you all about his death metal, vampire, gothic funeral music. I mean, you did act interested, which I was impressed with.
That was bizarre. He kind of threw out some things that were kind of mutually exclusive mm-hmm. in my mind. Like he said he liked to listen to melodic, symphonic death metal.
Yeah.
And I felt those like you could not combine those things, but he articulated how to combine those pretty well. I don't want to listen to it, but like I think I have a better picture in my mind of what it would be.
You were genuine. You're
inquisitive.
Who you are. You're like, wow, why are you into that? You ask great questions, and I couldn't help but kind of laugh because Coach is like, huh, that's interesting. And my usual, huh, that's interesting, is more like, hey, no, it's interesting, but I don't
get
care. Please get out of
here.
End that conversation. But yeah, Michael's kind of a fascinating creature back there. I will admit.
Yeah, he's got his own thing.
Yeah.
And I respect that. He's an individual.
Just be careful because he's going to try to make you listen to some of it. Because the second he gets you on the hook, then he's going to be like, oh, here it is. Then he's going to pull it up on his phone and he's going to make you listen to 5 straight minutes of it. And you're going to have to just sit there like, oh, yeah, haha, it's pretty good. That's a daily occurrence here.
I told him I draw the line at Screamo, and he was like, looking at me like, well, you just don't have an appreciation for Screamo. So well, I don't think he's going to try to put that on me.
Maybe not. You're being strangely professional today, Michael. What's going on? You feeling okay? You have another bout of food poisoning, or is this just is this going to be the new normal around here?
I had a Mountain Dew.
Oh, okay. Good.
No, I'm just saying, like, if you don't like screaming, I understand a lot of people don't like
what
that.
What is your go-to? We learned this on Good Morning NoCo. You were in a band, right, Coach?
Oh, well, yeah, it was a cover band. We did classic rock. I do like classic rock. I like folk. Folk rock.
Yeah.
I really like Eddie Vedder's acoustic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after he got out of Pearl Jam, broke away from them, and did more individual stuff.
Right up my alley.
I like some of the current modern country that's a little less rock and a little more folksy, a little more singer-songwriter stuff.
Yeah.
That's my genres.
It's funny because I like your, you know, your Metallicas and AC/DC and somewhat newer age rock, although I call it newer age rock and it was coming out in 2000s. But I do find, I'm not a big country music guy, but I find myself liking the folksy side, which the instruments are different, the mm-hmm. storytelling and the songs are different rather than just, you know, kind of a cliche hit.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of into the same stuff there.
Nice.
So look at that. Texting in here. Okay, here we go. As someone who always wanted to get into sports talk radio, quitting my job to be an intern doesn't sound too wild, says Aaron, talking about the transfer portal. Well, come on over, man. Last week on Wednesday, Coach, we actually did do an on-air firing of Michael. Basically, we will hire someone whenever they apply, so Michael will be the guy until we can get that person.
Okay.
So we did a wanted ad on the air. And I did it in front of Michael. So might be breaking a few HR violations there, but we got through it.
You know, you guys have filled me in that this is kind of like your shtick, this conflict here, but I can't get comfortable with it. Especially, I'm seated right between you two guys.
Coach, when I first started throwing shade at you, Coach is like trying to move past. He's like, there's something clearly going on here. And I'm like, yeah, for 17 years.
I need a rear view mirror so I can see Micah. Because I have my back to Micah, and I can see, I'm looking at you. It's a strange dynamic.
It is a strange dynamic. Yes, Michael.
He wants to see me wipe away my tears.
What? You want to wipe away your tears?
Yeah, because he thinks that this is real.
No, it is real. You drive me insane, and everybody knows that.
That is
faith.
One demerit.
Yes.
One
demerit
strike.
Thomas.
Yeah. That's two now, some of the stupid things that he says. Faith says, Coach Lamb, do the guys let you control the music at practice? Do you like their music choices?
Oh, that's interesting. So I've never taken control. I wouldn't ask their permission if I wanted to control it. But I'm more interested in the noise of the music that disrupts the communication. So really anything from crowd noise to any type of music that the players want, I do. We want clean versions. Our practices are open. And so we I just want the only thing I police is really the language. And then, we did... I think there was one theme. Oh, so yeah, we have our one of our processes. One of our goals is the gold brick games.
Yeah.
We actually mount a gold brick for certain victories. It's wins over FBS teams or ranked teams. We have a gold brick that we then put in the facility. And so I did on that week where we're playing against a ranked team and have a chance for a gold brick, we do play Pink Floyd's Brick in the Wall, and I'm a big Pink Floyd fan.
Yep, I'm a fan of Pink Floyd as well, but that makes perfect sense.
Right.
720 texting in, Eric Gibson's situation was weird. You and I have talked about that too, where he had to go to a D2 program. Does Coach Lamb have an update on where he might land for 2026?
The last coach that I spoke to calling for a reference on Eric was Indiana University, Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, and then Eric reached out to me shortly after I talked to the coach by text and said, thanks, coach. You know, coach over here said you did a great job of pumping me up. So
what a tough story, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you and I, again, on Football 52, we went into great detail on that. And I think well before we talked about the end result, it sounded like it was going to be a go, that he was going to become eligible. But the whole way that thing went down with the LSU thing and how the NCAA viewed it, it's just absolutely bonkers to me that he was not given that opportunity to continue with his eligibility at the D1 ranks.
Well, I'll give you some real insight into just how we felt about it, because, you know, we had two returning starters ideally coming back for next season. We had Peter Castelli, who had been hurt a majority of the year, then Eric Gibson, who came in and filled in admirably, and the team progressed around both of them, and we've got some momentum as a team and a program, and both of those guys have their share of credit for that. But because my core fundamental philosophy of leadership is, if I'm thinking it, you deserve to know it.
Yeah.
I called them both in after the season, and I wanted to let them know, okay, going into the offseason, who's the starter and who's the backup. Before I did that, I went and did research with our most experienced compliance person, is senior women's administrator, Rachel Walton. And so Rachel and I looked at Eric's case for eligibility very closely. Peter also had to appeal for his eligibility. It looked like they were both likely to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so because Eric had finished the season as the starter, I felt like that was the right thing to do, is to let Peter know that, look, you're both great players. You both could be the starter. But here's how we're going to go into the offseason. Eric will be the number one and you'll be the number two. And that could have contributed to Peter becoming frustrated and entering the portal and looking for an opportunity where he was more promised or slated as the number one guy.
Wow, yeah, and that's a tough spot, too, because you do want to be up front. Like you said, if I'm thinking it, I want them to know.
Yeah.
And you want you know, everybody to have all the cards on the table. You know, do with that. The information is going to be here. Do with that what you will. For Eric's case at the time, it was prepare your mind to be the starting quarterback. For Peter, it was prepare for whatever. Are you comfortable being a backup quarterback or what have you? Mm-hmm. So talk about being kind of put in between a rock and a hard place. And then you get the news and bam, you're out. Two potential starting quarterbacks.
That's right. Yeah, it was really it was so disappointing that the NCAA chose to rule that way. And I just give you some insight into the backstory on that and my communication with those two guys, because I think it illustrates how we're put as coaches in a position where we have to really make a prediction.
Yeah,
and you know that we got that one wrong.
Well, and I think everybody who was following that story closely got that one wrong, because it seemed like a slam dunk, no-brainer. 44 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
A lot of fun today with head coach of the UNC Bears, Ed Lamb, in studio. And normally I get you for an hour, man. I've got you for now 3 hours today. So, I mean, it's very cool for me, because we can pick your brain. Again, as a Division I head coach, you're so involved with what you're doing on a daily basis. Like, you are plugged in. So to kind of unplug that and get you focused on a bunch of other different things that maybe you normally wouldn't look at is really fascinating for me.
Yeah, I mean, we can share some insight. I was a little nervous that we might tread into some area that I don't know anything about, and I wasn't sure how much feedback that you were looking to have, how much discourse. And so I actually texted you, hey, you know, maybe the night before or something, give me an idea of what kind of things you're going to talk about. Not that I really wanted to kind of like research it, because I'm not going to come up with any opinions like that by reading, but I just wanted to be able to say, yeah, I don't follow that. But it looked like you were you know, just discussing things that I normally always follow.
Yeah, so it's a lot of, you know, the basic stuff, and, you know, and don't worry about it. There's plenty of times, 90% of the time, Michael can't contribute. So he'll say a few things, and, you know, we just kind of move on, and away we go. So you're doing great, man. I mean, this could be down the road, way down the road. When we need a co-host, Coach, we'll be calling you.
Just looking to find my role. Here.
Yeah, well, it's been good. And Coach has been like, I mean, we've got the podcast we do once a week. You're on with the fellas in the on the morning show, Good Morning NoCo. You guys kind of have a different vibe on that show than you and I do, I think, because, you know, those guys they like to mess around. They like to have a good time.
They do.
Yeah.
There's a dynamic between Tanner and Brian, and not totally dissimilar to what you guys have going here. There's a healthy conflict, let's call it.
Yeah, they actually like each other.
Okay.
Kind of.
All
yeah.
Right.
So with Michael and I, we're here, you know. 11:50 the time. We'll wrap up hour number one. Top stories of the day. And I'd love to get Coach's thoughts on this, too, with the SEC and the Big Ten. Again, it just fascinates me that we're awaiting on two conferences to make decisions for everybody else at the FBS ranks. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
All right, that's Michael's way of saying it doesn't matter who the quarterback is as long as they have the Orange Crush defense this weekend against the New England Patriots. Although, what is the new name for this Broncos defense? I forgot. I forgot what we gave them. But defensively, we know that's been the consistent strength for the Broncos this weekend, Coach. And before I let you go today, here coming up at 2 o'clock, you're going to have to let me know who you're picking between the Broncos and the Patriots.
Yeah, but you don't want to hear it now.
No, I want to hear it now.
Okay.
For me, I can't. Like, it's in my contract. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. I can't. Michael tries to get it out of me early. It is actually in my contract that I signed. You cannot make picks until Friday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe not exactly the way I tell it, but that's the way it's been told anyways. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that.
Okay. Well.
So every Friday during the season, I do my six football teams. And, of course, we've got the Broncos, we've got the Rams, we've got the Cowboys, we've got the Air Force Falcons, we've got the Buffaloes, and the Bears. So that would be a part of the picks every single week. And I finished over 500 against the spread, so I'm pretty proud of that.
Okay, very good.
Could be better.
Bears have been pretty strong against the spread.
Yes, helped me out a lot, actually. Might have been maybe my strongest pick area was taking the Bears plus whatever. So that helped a lot, so appreciate it. I know you had nothing to do with my picks, Coach, because you didn't even know about the spreads until afterward, but I appreciate it nonetheless.
I generally found out from you after. That's right.
Yeah, like, Coach, picks. You were 20-point dogs, and you won. Did you know that? What? What does that even mean? 11:57 the time. Top stories of the day. Coming up next, it's The Hull Show powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.